Today's daf is Yud Beit, learning Masechet Bava Metzia, first perek, Shnayim Ochazim. And yesterday we ended with a brilliant recognition here that there are two different levels of a chotzer. A chotzer can act as a yad, and a chotzer can act as shlichut. Richie! So where we're talking about something which is a chov, so then you can't be zocha la'adam shelo b'fanav. By a matana, we can be zocha adam shelo b'fanav, and therefore it acts with a shlichut. But when it comes to a get, the woman would have to actually be standing there. So in other words, standing there allows the chotzer to act as yad. Now that we go back and we say, originally, on the Mishnah, which was talking about somebody saying, I would like my chotzer to be kona for me. And we said yesterday that Shmuel said it's only if he's being emed mitzat chatzero. That's because if you're going to have a chatzer she'ena mishtameret, so if that's the case, all that you have left is the kinyan mishum yad. So if he's standing right next to it, so then fine, then he can be kainet. But if he's not standing next, it's enefinami, it isn't kainet. Okay. Continues the Gemara today, Gufa. We got into the question yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan said, if you recall, we had a case where there was a ball rolling across the field, where there was a tzvi that was managing to get across the field slowly, with a hobbling across with a broken leg, or birds that didn't know how to fly and were hopping. So it says over there, if it says that my field should be kena, that the field is kena. The question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said yesterday that Ra'ah Otam Ratzim Achara Mitziyah, that it says in the Mishnah, is only Zoche, his field, for him, if from Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Yochanan, V'hu Sheratz Achareihem U'Magi'an. Only if theoretically he'd be able to run and get there before they leave the field, so then it's Kena. But if by the time he gets there they'd be out of his field, the field isn't Kena. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, B'matanahech. What about, we've been making distinctions by a Dat Acheret Makneh. Is a Dat Acheret Makneh, but this is one of the reasons. We said perhaps that Ula was laughing at the question that Rebbe asked him yesterday, that clearly there should be a difference between a Dat Acheret Makneh and not a Dat Acheret Makneh. And one of the places that we had was the difference between Rabbi Yochanan, who said, V'usharat Zachareihem, where it was a Mitziah or where it was a Matana. Now we're getting into that discussion. So if we have a, says the Rabbi Yochanan, a Mitziah, he has to be able to reach it. Rabbi Yirmi asked him, what would be the din with a batana? And kibli mini rebarba barkahana afa bishrat zacharim ve'in magiyan, which proved to us yesterday that by dat acheret makneh, where all it's necessary to show is that it's yours as opposed to the other person's. So then in a finami, that das is sufficient that this should be the formalization of a kinyan. But where you need for the sadeh itself to be the complete kinyan, that's where we get into the question of bishtamerit and whether it needs to, he needs to be able to be magia and so on. Now a related question, somewhat tangential, but a related question would be, boy, rova zorak arniki bepetach zev yatzav bepetach acher mal. Here we've got a ball rolling across your field. Or we have, says Rava, how about a case where the ball never touches the field? How about where somebody throws a ball into your house through the window? It goes through there, and it's going out now. Perhaps the house is different. We said in Shabbos because it's enclosed. But how about over here, you throw a ball through one entrance, and it flies right out the other entrance. The question is, was your chotzer kena under those kind of circumstances? On the surface, sounds like this case. It wasn't going to bring a riot from it. Do we say, avir she'en sofolo nuach kumunach domi, that even though it's in the airspace and it is never going to land unless something interferes, that nonetheless is considered to be munach in this rishus and the rishus is kind of it? Oh no? Or do we say, for all intents and purposes, being as it's never going to land here, the airspace doesn't put something into your rishus? Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, or Rav Adar Bar Matna said to Rava, or Sabzei Ravina said to Rava, isn't that the Mishnah? We're Ra'ah Otam Ratzim Achara Mitziyam. So we said over here, we had a ball rolling across the field, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Vam Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Yochanan, V'hu Sheratz Achareihenu Magiyam. And Rav Papa, the question Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked was, what about if the guy himself throws it into your field? It's a Matana. So what about over there? Hey. And we said, so that means that we already know what the psak is on this. As long as it passes through your field, even though you won't be able to reach it, or in this case, it's passing through your field in the airspace, that should be fine. Omar Leib, no, it's not comparable. Mitgalgel kan, but you're talking about something that's rolling across the field, or that's dragging itself across the field, or hopping across the field. I mean, that's not the same as being only in the airspace. Shiny mitgalgel tekemunav dami. If something is rolling, then it's still on the ground. It may be continuously changing its position, but at least it's on the ground. I mean, my question was whether the airspace is considered to be in the rishus at all. That's a different issue. And that you haven't addressed from our mission. Of course, Lagabi Kinyani. We know we have Dinim Lagabi Shabbos and so on, which are not necessarily directly related. And now our president will give us Mitziat beno ubito akitanim. Mitziat avdo v'shivchato akna'anim. Mitziat ishto are elu shalo. So now that we've been speaking about the question of one person picking up a mitziah to be mezake another person, there was a shayla of whether he was zoch l'navshe, zoch l'chavre, or whether he really can be zoch to someone if that's his intent. Comes along the Mishnah to tell us that there are cases where indeed, by definition, the kinyan of one individual is a kinyan for someone else. In one of those cases, a young son or daughter, but of course there is a difference between a son and a daughter, because a daughter has kinyanim, that it could have kinyanim as a nara, that would still be the father's perhaps because of shevach ne'urim. So we've done bin uriah beit avia. A katan, l'chora, doesn't have any kinyanim at all, except in rabbanan, mipnei darkei shalom. The question also is, as we've seen elsewhere, the words benoi bito aktanim are sometimes used, even though they're technically gedolim, but they're ktanim vis-a-vis the father because they rely on him to support them. And that could be a takana because of Eva. We're going to see all of these possibilities in the Gemara as we go along. It's not precisely clear what we're talking about here when it comes to the children. Mitziat avdo v'shivchato akna'anim. Well, we know that an eved and a shivcha are like the yad of the Baal HaBayit. So that clearly is going to be his. And even his wife, as we saw in Ketubot, there is a takana because of Eva. So because of the fact that he's being supported, he has to pay money to support his wife. If she now wins the lottery or finds a wallet and keeps it for herself, obviously that does create some strains in the relationship. So because of that, we were grazer, then it goes to the husband. On the other hand, mitziat beno bito hagidolim, mitziat avdo l'shivchato ha'ivrim. And that's interesting because we said before, po'el, avdo v'shivchato ha'ivrim are the ultimate po'alim, right? We said even a po'el goes to the adon. So why over here does it say that it belongs to them? That the Gemara is going to discuss. Mitziat ishto shegirsha, and a woman that he had divorced, even though he hasn't paid her ketuvah, and it doesn't seem to be any kiddush in this, the Gemara is going to ask what this could possibly mean. Obviously, if a woman who's divorced finds something, she gets to keep it. Well, what does that mean? Even though he didn't give the ketuvah, what does that have to do with it? Hare elu shalahen, and we'll see that we're talking about over here a woman that he is supporting anyway, even though she may be divorced. Suffolk and still chayav mizonos, and you would have thought there was a takana there too that goes to him. Okay, but let's take each case separately. The opening case of the Mishnah was that a mitziat katan is la'aviv. Omar Shimon b'nei ma amru mitziat katan la'aviv. That clearly, this could only be a takana derabbana, because Shmuel is taking the word katan to mean literally katan. So normally the rabbanan are metaken kinyan for katan mipnei darkei shalom, because otherwise we're going to have real fights going on. And here the takana was that the katan himself doesn't keep the mitziah. Rather, the mitziah goes directly to the father with the kinyan of the katan min rabbanan. Why is that? Mipnei ma'amru mitziat katan la'avin shibishah motza meritzah etzal aviv eino ma'achar biyado. It's because psychologically anyway, when a katan finds something, he always runs to his father. So since he always runs to his father and shows it to the father, so therefore they were metakein, that it's as if he was magbia it for the tzorech of the father. It's like where we would say in the other case, that if someone bedavka had in mind to be kind of it for somebody else, over here we say, by definition, he's acting on behalf of someone else. Which obviously means that he doesn't hold that a katan has any zchut in it with your right. Because otherwise this is an absurd thing. You can't make a takonim on someone who has a right to the right to something and say, yeah, but we're giving it to somebody else. Because after all, he usually shows it to dad. I mean, that's outrageous. So the only way that this could work is that since a chatchila, the takonim anyway of a zchut of a katan, is defined by the Rabbanan, so in this case, the Rabbanan defined it as a magbi mitzil chavero, so to speak, as a shlichut that you're working for. Now, so Mimlameimra, in other words, by saying this logic, it's very clear that Shmuel holds that a katan has no real zechiyah midyoraita, and that's how this works. So katan literally zechiyah l'nafshe midyoraita. The problem is That's not what Shmuel holds. Because Ve'atanya, we have an issue that very much revolves around this question. Somebody hires a worker to work in picking in his field. The picker drops some things, the din is, of course, that leket goes to the ne'anim. Can the picker's children pick up the leket? That's the question. So it says here in the Braita, somebody who hires a picker, his son can walk behind him and pick up the leket. But if the relationship was li mechza l'shlish v'l'raviya, if, however, he wasn't being paid a salary and he was given a percentage, so it's as if then he's already an owner in that field, it's his doing his work on his own stuff, so then lo yelaket b'no akara, then his son cannot be malakit, either because, as some explained, that ani is also chayiv in leket, so once it's his field, then it's his own, and he can't keep it for his family, or because, since he's now a part owner in terms of percentages, he's not viewed as an ani at all. But in either case, there would be no zechut for leket. Rabbi Yossi Omer, benkach u'benkach, what's the difference? Even if he is not allowed to take leket, certainly his son and his wife could take the leket. So yalaket benovi ishto acharav. So in other words, what does that mean? That Rabbi Yossi is saying, his children are not extensions of him. They have their own kinyanim. And therefore they can go ahead and take the leket. And Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Now I ask you, what are the implications of Rabbi Yossi's psak? I mean, yamit bishleima, that katan itle zechiel and nafshim, you're going to tell me that a katan has a chut for himself midioraita. So then, kikomalaket lanafshe komalaket. So then, that makes sense. Someone who has a chuyot dioraita is able to be zocha in the leket midioraita. All right. Now the father goes ahead and may get it, but anybody who is an ani is allowed to feed leket to a rich man. That's not a problem. So you're saying, but when they come home, they put it into the refrigerator. So, big deal. It's like having a guest who's an ani, and the ani presents some leket on the table. But that would only be based on there being a zchut dioraita. So, kikamalaket, avuminei zochi, the father is going to be zochi in that leket from him. But if you're telling me, as you're claiming over here, with Shmuel's explanation in our Mishnah, that actually a katan let lezechiel and afshe, the katan doesn't really have any rights for himself, when you're right. Which means that lechat chila ki kamalaket, la'aviv kamalaket. He's picking up something directly for his father. His father? What right can his father is an asher? So amayish toben malaket akhara, what possible heter would there be to allow the child to be malaket akhara? Since me ikaradin, they have no zechuyot on their own. So now there's a contradiction in Shmuel. Here Shmuel is explaining the reason the mitziyat b'no bito haktanim goes to the father is because they have no zechut to the oraita. And the Rabbanan made it to takana that whatever zechut there's given to them, the Rabbanan should go to the father. But over there, he passes like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to leket. And Rabbi Yossi was based entirely on the katan being a separate legal entity than the father when it comes to kinyani. And therefore, midioraita was coded as leket just like any other ani. And now he's giving it to the father. How could he possibly hold those two positions simultaneously when they contradict each other? Answers the Gemara, Shmuel never suggested that he agrees, even though he gives the explanation. Shmuel was explaining, Taima Ditana Didan Ka'ama. Valelos Virale, it's not that Shmuel agreed with this Tana, because Shmuel actually paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And Enochinami, according to Rabbi Yossi, if a katan has a chutiyaraita, who could take it away from him to give it to the father? So therefore, Shmuel comes along and says, when he sees the Tana of the Mishnah, who's arguing, so he says, what would be the svar of the Tana of the Mishnah? The Tana of the Mishnah obviously holds that a katan does not have a zechut d'oraita. And therefore, the Rabbanan, once they make a takana of mipnei darkei shalom, the takana was to the father, because anyway, the katan is acting usually with his father in mind. Okay? So this, however, is ignoring a completely alternative explanation, which means that katan doesn't mean necessarily a legal katan, and that the issue over here has to do with eiva, just like it has to do with mitziyat ishto, has to do with eiva, and that it's all part of a takana, even if you do have a kinyan d'oraita, that the rabbanim were mitakein, and they have the kayach to be mitakein with hefker bez and hefker, they could be mitakein whenever they want in terms of mominus, so they could be mitakein mishum eiva. Shmuel doesn't hold that that's the meaning of the Mishnah. He takes katan and gadol literally as a legal definition of katan and gadol, in which case it has to do with rights. It has to do with rights. Then there, the Gemara is now discussing the rights of the right, the rabbanan, and so on. Now, getting back to Rabbi Yossi. So now you're saying that Rabbi Yossi holds katan it lezechiyah d'oraita, which is why he's allowed to collect the leket behind his father. The problem is that that doesn't work out even a little bit of Rabbi Yossi himself. V'savar Rabbi Yossi katan it lezechiyah d'oraita. V'atnan mitziat chere shoteh v'katan. Yesh mehem mishum gezel mipnei darkei shalom. Okay. So the Tanakama over here says that there, you cannot take things away from a chereshot of a cotton and think, well, they don't really own it anyway, so it's perfectly okay to steal lollipops from babies, after all. What kind of legal rights do babies have to lollipops? This is where we're heading, let me tell you. So, therefore, the Rabbanim were metakein that a baby has a right to its lollipop and you can't take the lollipop away. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, it's not that. It's gezel gomor. Now, so far that sounds very good, because that would mean that, yes, Rabbi Yossi argues, and he holds a cotton, has a chut d'oraita, and therefore it's gezel gomor d'oraita. The problem is that Rav Chisda explained Rabbi Yossi, this was a Kabbalah in Rabbi Yossi, that when Rabbi Yossi said gezel gomor, he did not mean that the lollipop was owned d'oraita by the baby. What he meant was gezel gomor d'ivrei. So that's what the Tanakhama said. Tanakhama says, Yeshbem Mishum Gezel, Bipnei Darkei Sholem. And he's saying, no, not Yeshbem Gezel, but Yeshbem Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholem. It's the same thing. So what's the difference? Says, well, no, there's a difference. Because what he's saying is it's Gezel Gomor Midivrayim. And they're saying it's only Bipnei Darkei Sholem Midivrayim. And there's a difference between those two things. Because if it's Gezel Gomor, you can go to court and you can be sued by that baby for its lollipop. I'll get it back from you. Yes, indeedy. You'll be in debt for the rest of your life. Mashenken, if it's only yesh behem mishum gezel, it's referring to how you're supposed to be mitnaeg. If you see a baby with a lollipop, do not take it. Because the rabbanu were mitakein that the baby owns the lollipop. But if la maisa, you couldn't resist. And you had to take the baby, the lollipop from the baby. So then, it's not recoverable in court, because it isn't really gezel. It was just teaching you how it is you're supposed to act. It's like taking the Golan from the Israeli kind of thing. So midivrayim, midday darkei shalom. Okay. Nafkamina, says the Gemara, that's the only nafkamina. Do you get it out with dayanim or not? So that would mean that Rabbi Yossi holds it only to Rabbona. I thought when it came to like it, you said it's the right thing. You're driving me crazy. So now Shmuel is really not agreeing with what he's saying. But now even Rabbi Yossi is not agreeing with what he's saying. How in the world could we, if he doesn't have a schut d'oraita, how could we give him a right to like it? He's stealing from the Aniyim. Hello, Rabbi. I'll tell you why. The din is that where you have a, let's say it's the end of the season. A guy wants to take the leket, that's like, what, am I supposed to leave it out there to go to waste? Can I pick it up or not? I'm not an ani. Can I pick it up?
So?
Yeah. So the halacha is that after the main groups, the nimoshot, the last people that come looking around, the old people, they've already gotten a crud. Nobody's going to bother anymore because they figure, oh my God, that thing has been picked through 20 times already. I'm not going to pick through it again. Okay, so there they made it that anybody could take it. Says Abaye, for all intents and purposes, that's the case over here. Because anybody who sees a guy working in a field with his kid figures, forget it. I'm not going to be finding anything. I mean, once the kid is there, then of course he's picking it up as it's falling. There's no point for me to bother even looking in this field. He said, therefore, it's exactly the same. The Rabbanan said it's the equivalent of a field in which the pickers after the pickers now have already picked through it. And the dinner's over there that the aniyim gufayu or maschidatayu, they themselves give up on it, and they're no longer makbid. They're no longer makbid. And therefore, the rabbanan allowed the child to take it. This is the equivalent of Efker. That's it becomes a takana. Omle ravada bar masel abaya, that is the craziest thing I ever heard. So in other words, you're telling me that everybody should go, bring along a pet lion, no ani is going to get near the field. Because then it's maschidatayu, and then take the whole thing for yourself. I mean, what kind of mishigas is that? V'chimutar la'adam la'arbitz ari b'toch tzedeyu, k'dei shi'iru aniyim v'yivrichu. That's what you're saying. You're saying, essentially, you put a lion there. I mean, the lion is the kid that's walking behind you, but he's scaring away the other aniyim. We're now going to decide. It's not worth our time. Oh! Now, since it's not worth your time, now it becomes mutter for the kid to take. I mean, if ever there was a tautology, this is one. So that can't be the reason. Ela Amarava, it's a different issue over here. It's a social contract, Takana. which is called Asu She'ino Zoche Kizoche. What they did was they made a takana that even one who has no zechut can have zechuyot if it's socially mandated. And here it is. Why? My time, aniim gufayu nechalahu. The neki echad chiyagu de dirun, yilkut benayo batrayu. Every ani is running around trying to get a job as a picker. Anybody who gets a job as a picker, it's a seasonal job, wants his family to be able to be there picking up lead. So therefore, the Rabbanim were betaken said, look, since 99% of aniim would want it this way, it's good for them, so we'll make a takon in the benefit of the entire society of aniim, that any picker is allowed to have his child take leket. Why? What's the mechanism? The mechanism is we're going to give his zechus to the kotel, as if he has his own zechus. How can you do that? Because basically, everybody who owns this wants that to be that way. Upliga, Rabbi Barabba. Now, this approach of Shmuel is totally the opposite of Rabbi Barabba. Rabbi Barabba says the futile search here for a mechanism that discusses legal rights of Ketanim and Gedolim is absolutely a waste of time. It's talking over here, said Rabbi Barabba and Rabbi Yochanan, it's not even talking about Gedolim and Ketanim in a legal sense. It's talking about Gedolim and Ketanim in the sense of being dependent on a parent. So when it says Gadol, it does not mean the definition of a Gadol. When it says Katan, it does not mean Katan Mamash. Because a technical Gadol who's 18 years old, but it's still being Semech al Shulchan Aviv, is a Katan vis-a-vis this Mishnah. Zeu Katan. Katan ve'no Semech al Shulchan Aviv. And I don't care if he's a Katan. If he's not dependent on his father, then that's a Gadol. The idea over here is independence. That's the point. So if there's dependence on the parent, then this becomes a Takana because of Eva. It's all part of Eva, just like the earlier part was about the Ishto. It's all interrelated, and it has nothing to do with Be'etzem rights. Even if he has rights, he can't keep it. But the truth is, a Katan who's independent keeps his own Mitziah. Whatever rights he has are his own rights. Why would we give them to the father? The Raita, the Rabbanan, I don't care. It's irrelevant. I don't care. So I don't care. It's a different issue. You go fight that out when it comes to other issues. But here, that's not what we're talking about. You want to say it's Dake Shalom, whatever. But why would it go to the father? No, in the end, it turns out the Rabbi Yossi himself was only saying that it was the Rabbanim because of a takana of Asu Sheino Zoche Kizocheh. So the whole problem didn't begin. We thought that it was a problem. Then we realized, no, actually, Rabbi Yossi himself wasn't saying that. Okay, so now we have two approaches to the mission. We have the literally katan, literally gadol, which is Shmuel's approach. Figuratively katan in terms of independence, and figuratively gadol in terms of independence, which is the approach of Rabbi Barava. Really, Rabbi's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And over there, it's part of the Eva Takanat. If he lives in the father's house and is dependent on the father's money, so then there's a takana that he doesn't keep things for himself.
Sorry? Should the baby be independent that he's entitled to?
No. Even the 18-year-old wasn't independent. So for sure, it belongs to somebody. I never said the father can't take the lollipop. Father often does. Okay. Mitziyat avdo v'shivchato ivri marin shalatzman. Now this doesn't make any sense. How could an Eved Ivri keep his own Mitziah, even if he were just hired for the day? We said that a poel's mitziah go to the one who hired him. Amai lo yael a poel. V'tani mitziah poel la'atzmo. But where? Bamedvar b'mur mizman shamar lo nacheshi mi'ayom, adori mi'ayom. If the guy was hired to do a particular job, such as weeding or debugging or hoeing, so in that case, the guy doesn't want it to be doing anything else. I mean, he's certainly not interested in his walking around beachcombing for him. That's like the simon of Batola, beachcombing. If he said, just in general, look, I need you to be my general gopher today. So then Elchin Amit says there, well, certainly an Eved Ivri is a general gopher. I mean, you use him for anything. He's certainly not for a particular purpose, is he? Well, yes, the Mishnah is obviously talking about a diamond cutter Eved. So you bought this Eved Ivri because he's an expert diamond cutter. You certainly don't want him beachcombing. So over there, if he picks it up, then Erech Inami is not picking it up as your yad for that. So in that case, we're talking about Eved Nokev Magaliot, She'en Rabo Rotze L'Shanoto L'Mlacha Acheret. Rava Omar. Rava says, well, the case over here is very simple. It doesn't mean that he just stops what he's doing and picks up a mitziyah. Over there, that would go to the Adon. It's talking about he adds another layer of work upon his work. So he's not only playing the accordion, he's also playing the harmonica at the same time. And in this case, the harmonica is the mitziyah. So and therefore, if he's doing it together with his malacha, so the focus of the owner is in terms of the malacha. The fact that he picked up something along the side, that is a second tier. Rav Papa, that is not going to make any nafkamina. You basically misunderstood the din of the poel. Where it said over there that somebody who hires a poel and says, I say imi malacha hayom, you thought that's the equivalent of an Eved Ivri. That is just in general a gopher. That's a misunderstanding. If the case of the poel means that he said, you work with me today in beachcombing. That he was dafka hired directly for that purpose. That's what it's talking about. What? Who the heck would waste his time on beachcombing? Hey, dummy. Ah, the Akfi Agma Bakavli. What happened is there was a tsunami, leaving tens of thousands of fish up on shore. The faster you get those fish into the freezer, the richer you are. So you hire a guy to work with you at collecting fish. No? Okay, so that makes sense. But that's when it says the mitzia goes to the Adon. It doesn't mean in general that a guy, I don't hold to this business of his being kiyad ba'alabayit. That is not. Okay, that explains now the evit, the shifcha part I didn't get. How in the world do you get a shifcha ivriya unless it's a ktana? But I thought you said a ktana is mitzia la'aviyah. And this isn't something that goes to the Adon. I'm confused. I shifcha echidoni. I mean, if she's a ktana, I mean, if she's a gdola, then she's not a shifcha anymore, right? I mean, he died, ishtei sarod. So what's she doing there? She can't even reach an agreement with him. There's no din. Oh, but shifcha ivriya. There's no nimka. Only an av who's mocher until such time as she reaches puberty. So if she's already a gdola, she's not a shifcha. So what's she doing there? Idelo aitish they saw. If she's a ktana, so then a manushach. I itel av. If the father's still alive, then I thought you said the mitzia goes to the father. Then it's the avuav. Vidalete la av. And if the father has died, I thought the din is that an amma who is sold by a father leaves the rishus of the adon with the death of the father. So the din over there is like Rish Lakish. Tepek b'mitata av, the om Rish Lakish. Ama ivriya kone atzma b'mitata av mirushut adon mikavachomer. That if, lomaisa simanim. Now simanim do not remove a woman from the rishut of the father. Because the father has rights to her, even as a nahara. But they do remove the rights of the adon. Kol shekein, the death of a father that does remove the rights of the father. How do we know the death of the father removed the rights of the father? Because the pasuk says that the father cannot be morish the rights to his daughter, which means that any rights that he had are now poka, completely. So if those rights are poka, so then koshkin, if they're removed from the shus of the father, they should be removed from the shus of the adon. So then, I don't understand. Either it goes to the father, or she's not a shifcha. That's what it boils down to. And you're telling me that it goes to her. How could it go to her? What do you mean it goes to her? No other child does it go to her. And if she's an adult, I mean, that's a trivial statement, then she's not a shifcha. So the Mishnah makes no sense. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, but we don't hold the Rish Lakish over there. We show that Rish Lakish's Kavachomer was wrong. V'lavi totav Rish Lakish? I mean, so Rish Lakish was wrong, and in fact, a woman can be in the Rishus of an Adin when the father has died, and in that case, Mitziyata Latzma. Ha! So what's your problem? No, my problem is, shall we say that this Mishnah is proof positive that Rish Lakish is wrong? That's exactly the point. I mean, I'm saying, shall we say that Neima Mihai Nami Tavit Yufta? That this proves, fascinating, because the Gemara Kiddush didn't even think about that. Here we've got a Mishnah here that says in Bava Metzia, there is a case of a Shifcha who has her own Metzia. How could that be? Must be that she's still a Ketana and that she has no father, because otherwise she would be going to the father. That proves that Reish Lakish, who says that the case doesn't exist, is wrong. That's what I'm asking you, says the Gemara. No, not necessarily. La'olam de'itilav, and maybe the father didn't die. And when it says over here, harehen shelahen, that she gets to keep her own mitziah, you said, what do you mean? How could she get to keep her own mitziah? A Ketana doesn't keep her own mitziah, it goes to the father. It doesn't mean she keeps it for herself. It means lafuki de rabba. You might have thought that the ownership of the shifcha gives rights to the Adon for the Mitzvah. Kamash Malan, it does not, it's whatever it usually is. Now, by the Ketana, what is it? Usually goes to the father. That's what it means. Mitziat Ishto. And then the Mishnah comes to tell us what seems to be on the surface a completely silly halacha, that if he divorced his wife, that then she keeps her own Mitziah. I mean, Asher Girisha Pshita. No, Achma Eskinan B'Megureshet Ve'ina Megureshet. It's talking about over here, classic case, Richie. Sofik Karovla. We're not sure whether she's Megureshet. So what's the din over there? The din is that the husband has to continue feeding her until such time as the get is completed properly. So Ba'ala Chayav B'Mizonoteh. Okay, so normally, when a woman is Ocha to Mizonot, she has to give the Mitziah to the husband. But why is that? So he shouldn't hate her. In the middle of divorce proceedings. What's the point? It's over. So if that's the case, time of my Amar Rabbanu Mitziyat Ishalabalak Echdo Davila Eva. Hacha Itle Eva Eva. Boy, they're over the top with the Eva. I mean, it would be a pretty futile pack on it to say we should avoid Eva. So therefore, there comes along the Mishnah to point out that you don't say that the takana is made across the board. The takana is made where applicable. In this case, is where there's no Eva applicable, then there's no issue. And indeed, he would not be Zoka, even though he does have to feed her, as our dear president is about to. How about if Matzah Shtarei Chov? So now, we've been talking all along about presumed ownership on things that have been found, who is Zoka in them. How about in cases where, by definition, we know who it belongs to? I mean, it's a contract. It's got somebody's name in it. It's a bond. Do I return that or not? We touched upon this issue slightly, Agav, before. Here we have a Mishnah that says, an interesting thing, it depends. If the Shtar Chov includes a lien on the property of the borrower who is listed in the Shtar Chov, Tz'im yesh b'machrayut nechasim lo yachzir. Don't give it back to the lender, because then the lender will use it to take away property from buyers, and that you have no right to do. Shebeit din nifra'imim. But if ein b'machrayut nechasim, if it doesn't give liens on the property against the buyer, so then yachzir she'ein beit din nifra'imim, because then beit din is unable to use it anyway. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say bein kach u bein kach. If we hold that achrayut katav is ta'ut sofer, and any contract that does not include automatically the clause about achrayut nechasim is because the sofer is an idiot, but because obviously it's meant to include achrayut nechasim, because no one would lend money without achrayut nechasim. So it's exactly the same case. Lo yachzir mipnei shebeitin nifra'imiyam. Now, again, on the surface, the Mishnah sounds absurd. Either you believe that the money is owed, or you don't believe the money is owed. What does that have to do with the lukuchot? Why are we believing that the money is owed vis-a-vis the lender, the borrower, but not legabe the other people? Something is very funny over here. Now, of course, in the end, what we could say is very funny is the question of whether this is a plot, a nasty plot. Because what could happen is a lender and a borrower were already in a relationship. Now, this money has been paid. This borrower has sold a field which he would like to get back. So he makes a deal with the old borrower. I'll drop the contract. They'll return the contract. Sue me. I don't have any money. We'll go get the money out of the field that I sold to so-and-so. Then we split it. So Lemaisa, there clearly is a different level of a chashad over here, which is called kinunya, nasty plotting. But that, at the first stage of the Gemara, to recognize that there are two different levels that we need to take into consideration, we don't have that worked out yet. So first we try to figure out, what are we talking about? Why would we return a shtar that we'd be willing to sue the lender, but not the lekuchot? So ask the Gemara, I don't get it. But my asking, and we had the whole discussion before about if a guy claims that he already paid up the shtar, and so in any way there's a thing that you can't return it. There it had to be. Is it mekuyam? Is it not mekuyam? I mean, the Mishnah just like throws out everything that we talked about until now. And it's obviously talking about some case that we need to zero in on. So, but my askina, I mean, ilam kishachayav modeh. If it's talking about over here that the lender admits that, yes, this is a kosher contract and I never paid it and so on, so then I don't understand. So why can't you return it, even if it has the boilerplate clause about achrayut nechasim? So why shouldn't I give it back? I mean, he's admitting he owes the money. I mean, so what's your problem? If he's not admitting that he owes the money, so how could I return it anyway? I mean, I don't understand. He's saying I already paid it. So, I mean, if you're chayish l'pira on, so we can't give it back because we can't take the money from him a second time. So what does that have to do with whether there are buyers that we'd be able to take it to? I mean, that's a second order problem, but even the first order you haven't addressed. Exactly. So that's what it's saying. So what? Right? What do you mean? No, he goes to court and they question him and they decide. If it's all very nice to say they won't collect from the buyers, but they're going to collect from the lender, from the borrower. So, I mean, how could you return it to someone who may use it to illegally collect? No, you're right. Liolam kishachayav modeh. It's talking about that he admits that this is a shtar, that yes, he did borrow against it. The reason that we don't want to return it, weird reason, is that we're chayish shema katav lilvot benisan v'lo lava atishrei. We're afraid that maybe the shtar was written early, and then he actualized the debt only 6 months later. Now, if it has achrayot nechassim, you're going to have 6 months of illegal tiruf of a lien that never existed. Because he wrote it, and then they argued about it so much, it took 6 months to actually get the loan. Now, this guy is going to collect the loan, perhaps against buyers that he had no right to, because it only went to affect the lien 6 months later. System, I don't understand. That's crazy. I mean, so then any shtar, how do you know that that's not? What does it have to do with finding it? Any shtar that comes to you and says, well, I'm sorry, we can't. I mean, unless you can bring witnesses that will say when the loan actually took place, we can't rely on a shtar because it may have been predated. I mean, obviously, we're never chayish for predating shtarot. That's the whole thing. I mean, the edim that are signed on the shtar are considered to be basically saying that the date that appears is the date on which the lien went into effect. So if that's the case, why don't we have to worry about any shtar that appears here? No. You see, koshtari lo ri'i, ha-ri. There's a problem with the shtar. The very fact that the shtar is no longer in your rishos and was found on the street opens a Pandora's box of chashashot. You're going to bring it into court now, you found it on the street? Okay, so now we start questioning. But it's all very nice that the guy is saying, well, but it's okay, I did borrow this money. Once we start questioning, we also have to wonder why the shtar was not properly tended, why it fell out in the street, and so on. Therefore, we have all these other chashashot. It's exactly the same as you never want the cops to start looking at, you never want Misrad Apnim to start looking at your documents. Once they start looking, they'll find 100 reasons that it's no good. As long as you can get it under the radar, everything is okay. This seems to be the way Rashi is learning. Tosis is learning that it's the fact that it was not properly watched. And now, so Tosis says, I mean, Rashi says that also, says, but I understand. What does that have to do with the predating? I mean, if the loan was taken, it would still be properly watched. So Rashi doesn't address that issue. So he's saying that there's something wrong and we need to analyze it. Okay. Tosis says, no, it must mean when the Gemara says that it was predated and that the loan never happened. And that's why it wasn't watched. That must be the pshat. So the point over here is he wants to use this shtar, but it really hasn't happened yet. That's what we're thinking. So he is saying, no, it's fine. He wants to avoid all the expenses of writing another shtar. And the malva is saying to him, look, just bring me the shtar, I'll give you the money. So he tells the guy, it's fine, just give me the shtar. So there we're thinking to ourselves, wait, it's not fine. If what he said is true, so why did he let it drop? Nobody lets a shtar drop where it was really, I mean, the guy was keeping the shtar to collect. He wasn't keeping the shtar because it wasn't a kosher shtar. He didn't make the loan yet. That must be the pshat. So now why is he asking for it back and he's on the borrower's meida? Because the guy says, I'm ready to give you the money, but I'm not going to give you the money until you write out a new shtar. So he says to the court, no, this is a perfectly good shtar. Just give it back to me. You can give it to him, right? Does he want to save himself the money? That's how Tosfos understand. So not that it's stam a Pandora's box, but that we have a really reasonable problem.
Go.
The jet lag.
Now I have a valid excuse.
All right. Let him sleep for 3 weeks now. By the time he finishes sleeping off this jet lag, he'll have a new one. I thought the Rabbana made a takona that Richies don't get any kind of slack for jet lag. Okay, I mean, if you're invoking it, I have no choice. So who do I play target practice on? All right, so maybe that's the case.
Just means like deficiency?
Yeah, it goes right. It's a reyusa, like a reyusa. It's the same lashon. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, but if it says in the Mishnah that kotvim shtar lo ve'af apisha ein malve imo. Now that you're saying that we have this concern, how in the world do we ever allow a shtar to be written without the presence of the actual loan? I mean, what we should need over here is the lender present, making the loan, write the shtar, the eidim sign on the shtar. But if a guy's going to write a shtar to keep, and then you're chayshet, then now 6 months later he's going to use it. So then that itself already is contributing to fraud. We should not allow shtarot to be written unless we can know that they're written properly. And yet you're saying we don't have such a chashat. So why should we say, l'chadchila echi katvinu? We should say, how can you allow somebody to write a shtar without the guy present? Nechu shema katav levot minisa. Maybe he's preparing it. He won't use it until Tishrei. And then the lender will end up using a shtar that's dated 6 months early to collect a lien that didn't exist 6 months early. And the poor lakuach ends up losing his field shelo kedin. Rav Asi, you're right. We will not allow you to write that kind of shtar. We will only allow you to write shtarei hakna'a. Shtarei hakna'a are shtarot that create a credit line with a mortgage in advance. So somebody wants to have a credit line at the bank. What does he do? Just like he does today. He writes out a shtar hakna'a. Then all my property is lien to you from today. If I'll take out the loan, fine, then you'll use the lien. If I don't take out the loan, obviously there's no money that I owe you. But enoch inami, the lien is open from today. There is a shtar to that effect, and therefore it's a registered lien, and a lakuah can protect himself, and that's fine. You're allowed to open a credit line. When the Mishnah said that we will write a shtar even when the lender is in presence, it meant a credit line shtar, not a shtar to a particular loan. So then enoch inami, there's no problem. So now we're running around in circles. If you're talking about the Mishnah that says, Im yesh b'machrayut nechasim lo yachzir. You said the case over here was, v'ukim nekishechayav modeh, and the problem is that if there's achrayut nechasim, it's because, shema katav levot b'nisam v'lo lavat tishrei, v'ate lemitrof lekuchot shelo kedin, look at the shtar. If it's written in the language of a credit line, that's what the Mishnah should say, it depends. If it's a credit line, so now Shabbat Le'Navshe, a credit line is no chashash of early shtarot. And if it's a regular shtar, that's not hakna. What are you worried about? Nobody writes a shtar like that. You just said it's prohibited to write a shtar like that. You're claiming the only way we write a shtar is if the malva is present. The only way we write a shtar without a malva is present is if the shtar hakna. So fine. So mamanavshach. If there's a shtar hakna, if it's kosher. If it's not a shtar hakna, the guy admits he owes the money, it's also kosher. Because who would have written a shtar that's usher? So leka lomecha, ba'amir ki leka malva ba'dei lo katvina. You just claimed that no sofer will write a shtar if the malva isn't present, unless it's a shtar hakna'a. So by your own explanation, you've made the Mishnah make no sense now. Omle Ravasi, that's not a problem. I mean, even if the guy picks up a shtar that's lav hakna'a, we're not going to rely on the fact that you're not supposed to do something. Once we've got the shtar, we have to decide what to do with it, and say that, well, I mean, after all, ki lekem avei ba'adei lo katvinan. But the Mishnah is saying, hold on a minute here, baby. What is a shtar doing in the middle of the street? So kivin enofel itrele. Once it's itrele, we have to open up the whole slew of possibilities, which may be that maybe in this case, dima akre v'katuv. You're right. Normally, everything goes kisidra. A guy comes in, wants to collect, there's no problem. Bakuyim invested, or the guy is made a b'shtar shekatavo. What's the chashash? But once we've got the problem of Isra, we can't say, well, it wasn't supposed to. Thank you very much. It wasn't supposed to be in the street either. So don't give me what's it supposed to. So obviously we're dealing with something strange. Maybe it was written in advance, and it's not a shtar hakna. So this is our first take now on the mission. Gufa. Ra'atam ratzim achara mitzia. Omer Rabirmiya, Omer Rabi Yochad, and v'hu sharot zacharim ha-magi'a. Boy Rabirmiya. The Omele Rav Papa la Rav Avarmi la Rav Adav Abad and la Rav Avarmi la Ravina la Rav Ala Avayna Matiti Rav Tam Ratzina Achara Metzia Miyom Rav Yirmi Yom Rav Yochan Vusha Ratzach Rehma Magiyan Uboi Rav Yirmi Abba Matana Heith Vekibel Mene Rav Abba Barkana Matana Afo Pishen Ratzach Rehma Magiyan Omele Mitgalgel Kamer Shaini Mitgalgel Dekambun Hagdomi Mitziat Beno Bito Arkitani Mitziat Abdo Vishivchato Akinani Mitziat Ishto Arei Elu Shelo מציאת בנו ובנו הגדולים, מציאת עבדו בשפחתו העברים, מציאת אשתו שגירשה ובשלונתה כתובה, הרי אלה שלהם. אומר שמוע, מפני מה אמרו מציאת קטן לאביב, שבשעה שמוצאה מריצה אצל אביב, ואינו מאחר בידו. למעבר לסוף השמוע, קוטן לטל זכייה לנפשי מדיראיתא ועתניא. הזוכר אתה פועל ילקט בנו אחריו למת, שלושה שבביה לא ילקט בנו אחריו, רבי יוסי אומר, בין כך ובין כך ילקט בנו ושתה אחריו. ואומר שמוע להלכה, רבי יוסי, זה אומר בשלם הקטן, איתלי זכייה לנפשי מדאורייתא, כי כמה לקט לנפשי כמה לקט, ויעבו המיני כזוכי. אבל אי אמר קטן, איתלי זכייה לנפשי, כי מלקט לאביב כמה לקט, אביב עשיר, אמה אשתו ונו מנקנו עם אחריו. שמוע תאים את איתן את עידן כאמר, אבל רילי לילה סבירה לי, וסוף רבי יוסי קטן, איתלי זכייה מדאורייתא, even רבי יוסי לא זנוע דת, ואתנן, מציאת חירשות וקטן, יש בהם בשום גזע, מפני דרכי שלום, רבי יוסי אומר גזע גמור, ויום רב חיסטה, means גזע גמור בדבריה, דווקא מינה לא ציין בדיוני, אלא אומר רבי יעשו כמי שהלכו בה נמושות העניים, גופיו, מצחי דעתיו, סברי, בריא דרך, מלאקתי לי everything, אומר לרב אדר ברמתן לבית, וכי מותר לאדם להרביץ צערי בתוך שדהו, כדי שיראו עניים ויברחו? אלא אמר רבא, אסור שאין הזוכה כזוכה, מה הייתה עימה? עניים גופיו נחלו, כי איך דכי אגר לדידו, נלקט ביניו, אוסו, בתריו. ופליק לרבי בר אבא, דאמר לרבי בר אבא, אומר רבי יוחנן, אופן, אז לא בדידו בזכי את all. It's talking about lo gadol gadol mamash, lo katan gadol mamash. Rather, gadol v'semech ha-shulchan aviv is a katan. Katan v'enu semech ha-shulchan aviv is a gadol. Mitziat avdo v'shivchato, avrim erilu shel atzmam, amai, lo yael ha-poel, v'tani mitziat poel la-atzmo. Bameh dvar memur v'zman shomar lo nachishi mi-ayom adori mi-ayom aval amar lo ha-seimi melacha ayom mitziat olav al-abayit. אומר רבי ברב, אומר רבי יוחנן, אוכל באבן נוקב מרגליות עסקין, שאין רבו רוצה לשנותו למלאכה אחרת. רבו אומר, במקביל מציעה עם מלאכתו עסקין. רבו אומר, כגון ששכרו ללקט מציעות, והיחידון מדי אבקי אגמי בקברי. היי שבחי יחידון, אידע את השתי שערות, מי בוא יגבי. ודלא הייתה שתי שערות, הייתה לאב די אבו אבי, ודלא תלבתי במיטת האב, ואומר שלא כשם העברי הקנה לעץ במיטת האב, מרשות אדון מקו החום, so, ולביטו אותו ושלא כש, אוקיי, נעמי מיהי נעמי תאבי תיופת, not necessarily, לעולם די איתה לאב, ומה ירד שלהן להפוק איתה רבא, מציאת אשתו גרשה, פשיטה, אך מסכירים מגורשת ואינה מגורשת, אמר לביזר, אמר שמועה, כל מקום שאמרו חכמים מגורשת ואינה מגורשת, בעלה חייב במזונותיה, תאמר מיום רבון המציאת אשתה לבעלה, כי איך לא תאבי לאיבה, אוכית לאיבה ואיבה. מצא שתה רחוב, אם יש בהם אחריות נכסים, לא יחזיר שבית דין נפרעים מהם, אין בהם אחריות נכסים יחזיר שאין בית דין נפרעים מהם, דבר רבי מאיר, וחכמים אומרים בין כך ובין כך לא יחזיר, מפני שבית דין נפרעים מהם. ומה יסכים? אילה מה כשחייב מודה, כי יש במאחרות נכסים, המה לא יחזיר? או מודה. והיא כשאין חייב מודה, כי אין במאחרות נכסים, המה יחזיר? נהי, זה לא גבי ממשאבלי, בבי מנחרים, מגמי. ליהלום כשחייב מודה, ואוכלנו תאים את החשינות שם הכתב ללוות בניסן, ולא לבעת תשרי, ואת אלה מטרף לקוחות שלו כדין. יוכי, כל שתה ודעות את לכמה נכו שלו. No, of course, there is no rie, any rie. A lot of time, God, you start to love, after you say, Mal, the email, the Katrila, Eki Katvino, Ne, Hashem, a Katav, the Lord, and Nisam, and all of that, the Shrek, Vot, in the midst of the Kuchot, Shlokidin, Om Revasi, Enochi Ami. You can only write, Stare Akna Am, Da Shabi Navshe anyway. So, Yachim, at least, the Dictarim, Yeshma, Achrut, Nachasim, Lo Yachzir, Vokim, the Kishraya Mode, בשם הכתב לבוא בניסם ולא לבעת תשרי ואתה תמיד תפקו כך שלא כדין המה לא יחזיר, נכסה. because Amr tequila came out of the look at Vina. No, Malira Vasi, Alpha Gav, the story of the Lavakna, Kilaka Malvabade, look at Vina. Nonetheless, Matniti, given the Nafal, Italy, Hashira, Dilma Akriba Katov.